652. 652. 652. Sing all five verses.
How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. When each can feel his brother's sight and with him bear afar, when sorrow flows from and joy from heart to heart, when free from envy, scorn, and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. When love in one delightful stream through every bosom flows, golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glows with love.
If you'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Good to see you all this morning and thankful to be here. It's been a rough week for all of us, I know. I've changed the topic as I announced in Bible study. The topic today I'd like to talk about is similar to the song we just sang, and the title is Concern for One Another. It's a sermon on brotherly love, which I believe we show and is a credit to you all, and appreciate that about you, and part of the reason I'm thankful to be here. We think about concern for one another. There is that expression, one another, or one to another, or one for another, occurs often in the Word of God. For instance, in James 5, in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, we're told to edify one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor preferring one another. 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so it points us to selflessness. Selflessness. It reminds us of brotherly love. And notice with me that when we turn to a passage such as Luke 9 in verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Selflessness, deny self. I'm convinced if we're going to show brotherly love as we should, to the degree that God expects of us, and we should show one another, that we're going to have to understand about selflessness. Deny himself. God models this before us, by the way. I've said before, I don't know that there's anything If you find an example, tell me. I don't know that there's anything that God asks us to do that he hasn't first done himself in one form or another. When we are asked to be selfless and we're asked to deny ourselves and we're asked to show love one toward another, notice then God the Father. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. So God showing love in offering of himself. And what about the Christ? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. And so God modeling this selflessness, this love before us. Romans 5, 6 to 8. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so concern for one another starts with selflessness, and we see God has shown us the way, not only in word, but also in deed. So we're to love one another. 12 passages and more. At least 12 times we find this taught in the Word of God, the passage that we read a moment ago. A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 13, 34 and 35. Turn from there to John 15 and verse 12. The Lord says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. John 15 and verse 17. Romans 13 and verse 8, we're told to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, the apostle says. And why? To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So, love one toward another. While you're there, look over to chapter 4. This time, verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye have not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Peter says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. John says, this is the message which ye have heard from the beginning, that you love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own deeds were evil or wicked, and his brother's righteous. 1 John 3, verses 11 and 12. As we go over to 1 John 3, let me look down. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. 1 John 3 and verse 23. 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. 1 John 4 and verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4, verses 10 and 11. And then turn over to 2 John, verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. So lots of instruction. 12 passages we looked at, plus, I suppose, with the additional passages or scripture lists there, but 12 sightings that we made concerning loving one another, brotherly love. We ought to have concern one for another, and we do that here, I believe, pretty well. So I appreciate you for that. And I can learn, too, to do better in that avenue myself. And so when we think about loving one another, we recognize that, you know, that's an obvious thing for us to be busy doing. It ought to be obvious that we should love one another. And so for some reasons, we're of the same body, are we not? When we obeyed the gospel, we were added by the Lord to the church. We're of the body, the church. Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We are those of like precious faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Talking about the body in relation to the physical body and then making application concerning spiritual things. In Romans 12 and verse 4, we have many members in one body. We're told that there is one body in Ephesians chapter 4. And if you turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for as the body, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, into the body, as it hath pleased them. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are ye many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Why? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There's that expression again. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So, it should be obvious then that we ought to love one another. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. We're instructed to be of the same mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. We're told in Romans 15, beginning in verse 5, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15, verses 5 to 6. So instructed to be of the same mind. Why? Of the same body. We ought to love one another. Why? Because we're of the same body and we ought to have the same mind. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. And certainly we should be. I believe it was the last verse of the song we sang. Love is the tie that binds, the golden tie that binds. Well, here, what is that that bonds us together? The cement. Someone says it's love. But notice with me that this is not just an empty sentiment. But I'm convinced that it's rather a love for God. It starts there. I think way about a year ago now when first started worshiping and working with you brethren, I believe it was Brother Crotel, he mentioned, you know, if we'll nail down Matthew 22, 37 and 39 first, and then a lot of these other things will come along as need be. What do they say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so, yes, if first a love for God. We're those individuals that love God. How have we shown that? Because we obey His gospel. We're those individuals that are here this morning worshiping God, and we show that through our lives as we worship and work and try to live day by day in accordance with His will. We're those individuals who only let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, Philippians 1 and verse 27. That's what we strive to do. We're the individuals that seek to add to our faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, to patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. That's us, isn't it? 2 Peter 1, verses 5 and 6. And so, love first, a love for God, and a love for the things of God. Go back to 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, let us love one another with a pure heart fervently, tying the two thoughts together, a love for truth. So, not just some empty sentiment. Oh, we love one another. We'll pat you on the back. Y'all are better than that, and I've seen that, and that's why I appreciate you. Because you love God, and you also act on that love. And it reminds me then of 1 John 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, in that he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then read on. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We said earlier, we think about God and we think about the expression that we find at least 12 times in the Word of God, more, I believe. I cited 12 of them, to love one another. And I said God has modeled this idea of selflessness and love before us. Certainly he has. So, we likewise recognize that we love God, and because we love God, we indeed love one another. Ties it together for us. 1 John 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we see, when we're concerned for one another, it's obvious we ought to love one another. And then the next point, the second point, ought to be this, and that is, well, how are we going to do that? I've already mentioned it. Not vain sentiment, but rather, we can show love as God has shown love for us. We see that God gave of himself. We've mentioned this in John 3 and verse 16. Notice a different passage. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Turn with me to Psalms 103. And notice with me that God shows us how to love, and that is that he accepts us in spite of our weakness and imperfections. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that that means the absence of obedience to his will. No, it doesn't. But it is recognized that we have weakness and we have imperfections. And God has made for us a way to be reconciled with him and to be friends with him. Remember, Jesus says in John 15 and verse 14, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and verse 15. We can be his friends, and we can obey his commands. We can obey the Father's commands. But God does accept these, recognize, maybe we should say, weakness and imperfection. Psalms 103, verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 11. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We recognize that these things happen for us in the New Testament. We live under the new law. But remember the thoughts concerning the new law, where the Lord said concerning this new covenant, a new covenant hath I made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. It hath vanished away. That's Hebrews 8 and verse 13. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. How does that come to pass? Comes to pass through obedience to the gospel. Notice with me Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. The disciples were told, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Yes, saved when we obey. Saved from what? Past sins. Being made clean to be a new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Old things put away, all things become new. God gave of himself. He recognizes that we have weakness and imperfection, has provided for us a way of reconciliation. And provided this for us from the foundation of the world, knowing that men, yet his enemies, though Christ would die for their sins. We noted this earlier in Romans 5, 6 through 8. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we see what God hath modeled before us, how is it that we show our love? We show our love by serving one another. Galatians 5 and verse 13, by love, serve one another. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be counted equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2, verses 1 down to verse 8. Shall we show our love as God showed his love? We do that specifically by serving one another, by edifying one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, let us follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one might edify another. Now what is that? Well, to edify is to build up. Build up how? To build up in the faith. Let's follow after those things which would cause us to edify one another. We submit ourselves to one another. In Ephesians 5 and verse 21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We show love. We show love by serving. We show love by seeking to edify. We show love by submitting one to another. And we show, by the way, also fear of God. His commands show us to do so. Remember, Jesus said, John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so, showing love then, by serving, edifying, submitting. But also, notice with me that we show love by admonishing one another. Remember, the preacher Timothy was told. Now, Timothy's one of the brethren, isn't he? Yeah, he had a charge of preaching. Sure, he was left behind at Ephesus when Paul went into Macedonia, had a charge of preaching. He's just one of the brethren, though, isn't he? He is. Someone says, well, wasn't Timothy an inspired man? Yeah, probably he was. He wasn't an apostle. What charge did he have as one of the brethren? Now, a charge, I guess, stems to his preaching and being an evangelist. But he was told, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But nonetheless, be instant in season and out of season. I've learned some things about being a parent. I've been a parent now for 15 years. That's one thing you have to be as a parent. I figured that out. It took a while. I guess it's taken me 15 years to figure that out. You need to be instant in season and out of season, don't you? And mom and dad best be of one mind, yes? Because if you're not, bad things might happen. Well, think about that in regard to the church then. Preaching needs to be in season and out of season. When they like it, when they don't like it, yes. We reprove, we rebuke, we exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Because there's going to be a time when we're tempted to stray away and we're not going to be able to endure, and so we maintain then that watch that we talked about this morning in Bible study as we were trying to sum up the things of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We desire that all be found this way. That is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And not just having it there, but living by it. Yes, not just having the knowledge of that word, but living in accordance with that word. And that's where we mentioned Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You have to have knowledge of that course, that way of living, that manner of life. But then to do more than that is just live by it. And we admonish one another to do so. That's love. Serve one another, to edify, to submit, to admonish. How about to forgive? There's another. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We talked about that last week in the sermon. We bear one another's burdens. Mentioned the idea this morning about walking before God, walking in the light. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. If someone, that is a brother or sister in Christ, is struggling with that, and they're about to faint, as we mentioned this morning, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. If we think about that from a physical standpoint, we're out here walking on the sidewalk, we're marching as an army might do, soldiers might do, whatever the case might be, what would we do with that individual? Wouldn't we grab them, grab their arm and put it over our shoulder and our arm on their back? We'd help them that they not faint and fall out. Yes, we sure would. And we can imagine that easily enough. And so Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And so when we bear, we divide the struggles, we divide the burdens and bear apart with those individuals. And we sang about that, by the way, in the song. So we love one another by serving one another, by edifying, seeking to edify one another, that is, build them up in the faith, to submit, to admonish, to forgive, to bear one another's burdens, to be kind one to another. 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9, above all things, be fervent in charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. The motivation, by the way, back up one point in underneath this thought, bearing one another's burdens. The motivation for that would be love, would it not? That's the motivation. The motivation then for helping one another that they faint not, Galatians 6 and verse 9, might follow along and then in verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. I believe if we look at that context, there is not a consideration of physical things, but rather of spiritual. When you back up Galatians 6, 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. And then verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Would these things not fit under that verse? Serving one another, edifying one another, submitting to one another, admonishing one another, forgiving one another, bearing one another's burdens, and in all of that, then, being kind one to another. That's how we're going to love in all of those ways. So Jesus says, as we go back to John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, the people of the world, they see God the same way we see God, and that is through His Word. We didn't live when God the Son was on earth. We didn't see Him. We didn't see the miracles that He did. But we, by faith, see those miracles. In John 20, 30 and 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And so we see by faith, and the world can see by faith, that is, considering the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and 7, and verse 17. But can the world not see then God's love through us? They can. They see it by us being here, worshiping. They see it by us living out in our lives His Word. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Or maybe Matthew 5:13-16. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden to the foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and place it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So the new commandment then is to love one another. Where does it start? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:37-39. We show this love, as we just got through mentioning, by continuing in the commands, by living after God's commands, and God, or the world that is, sees God in us. And we show that we know the truth and follow after the truth. Remember with me John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. So Jesus tells us in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The world sees this in us as we follow after those commands and do those things which we're instructed to do. Have you obeyed the gospel? Jesus says in John 8 and verse 24, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. The Savior says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Luke 13 and verse 3. Jesus says in Matthew 10 and verse 32, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33. And Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Show your love for God by submitting to His commands. And those of us that have done so, those of us that it can be said we are those of like precious faith, 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, let us continue to show our love for God by keeping His commands, that we might hang on to eternal life and the hope that we have in heaven. We have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Peter says, reserved in heaven for you, 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you have need of the invitation, would you come?
I would stand.
Careless soul, why would you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face thy judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by, and your life is spent in folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life soon goes into life. Oh, how sad to face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God. Hear you not the earnest pleadings of your friends that wish thee well? And perhaps before tomorrow you'll be called to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning. For your life will soon be gone, will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition. Unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning. For your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God.
Thank Brother Miller for that lesson. The hams are out. Lisa's having to take care of a sick grandbaby. And Miss Benton, does anybody have an update on Miss Benton, how she's doing?
Doing okay. I think the weather kept
her. Okay. And that's the same with the Miss Whitaker. When the weather's like this, she said she's not going out. So I'll try to get to bring her next Sunday. So let's continue to remember Donna in her prayers, that she have a recovery from her illness, and remember the floods in her prayers and Eileen's family. Are there any other announcements? If not, we'll have a closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're truly grateful to have been able to be here this morning to worship you and lift up our song voices and songs of praise unto your name, to glorify you and to encourage each other and to remember your son's death on the cross. Father, we're so thankful for this death and the salvation that it brings us. We pray that each day of our lives we'll think about what Christ has done for us, for his sacrifice, and let it be an encouragement to us to do better in this life. Father, we pray at this time for those of this number that are ailing. We pray that your healing hand would be upon them, that their health would be restored to them at this time. We pray that you would be with the Flood family and Eileen's family at this time in their time of sorrow, that they can look to your word for guidance and for strength and comfort, and that each one of us can comfort them as well. Father, we pray as we leave here this morning that throughout the coming week we would use the things we've learned today to encourage us to do more for you, pray that we'll both be found loving each other as we should and helping each other along the way. We thank you so much for your son and his love for us and his sacrifice. We pray now that you will forgive us of our sins, that we can stand acceptable before thee. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Oh.